Carlos Pizza. That, I close my eyes, stick my fingers in my ears, cause I don't wanna know what the truth is. I'm swallowing lies like a junk is never cold. I'm alive, but I'm sleepwalking.
Translated it in English, it got only three verses, and it fits very well. So, it's about martial love, and I think it gives hope to the younger audience. Martial love. The globe rotates day by day, and humans please themselves. The men who promise celibacy self-gratifies behind the shelves. And I who desire your sweet flesh, I know that is my wanted pleasure. The scourge you gathered around your hips, I'd like with you to measure. Let's take a bite of the sinful apple before the rotten fruit lies at our feet. For everlasting mature love, we shall surely prove the meat.
Marcel, and now we have Mary O'Connell, please.
Before I read this, just two things I need to explain. One is a dibuk, which is a sort of demon in Hindu, in Jewish lore. And a nibur is a rather more benign spirit. So they both come into to this. It's called eruption. Overnight it came, a pulpy bulge at my left shoulder, melding with my flesh, a hideous surprise. Was it a dibuk pushing through my skin? Showing me up, cutting me down to size, punishment for some past deficiency. Maybe a nibur, spirit more benign, gently revealing life's adversities. Whatever was the cause, I was loath to root it out. The pain of amputation froze my will. I accepted what I had become, a thing ungainly and encumbered. As well, there was Saint Paul, sorely distressed when Satan pressed a thorn into his side. He asked the Lord 3 times to pluck it out. So at last, it was to curb his pride. This gives me reassurance that my unsightly lump may keep me grounded, humble, and alert.
Thank you, Mary. And now we'll have Charles Clark, please.
Clacton-on-Sea, on the Essex coast of the North Sea, is a place which was originally intended as a kind of holiday resort. Now it is more popular as a kind of retirement place. It is colder than almost anywhere in England. And I had a great time there about 40 years ago at the Seaside Workshop. Seaside Workshop, I've read this before, many apologies for anybody. Her husband closed the door. Minutes later, a lorry mounted the pavement. She explained to me at the Seaside Workshop. At the Seaside, my poem was blighted by applause and appears in the bulletin only. Hers, dense as matting, concerned rock climbing, her habit, her hobby in bereavement. At the Seaside, I backed a guineas mirror and covered my expenses. I met a kingmaker at breakfast. Sunday afternoon, we said goodbye. She took a lift to the Abbey for a christening. Her book, my souvenir, went to a land washed by cement dust, pocked by chalk pits, home to rare orchids.
Thank you, Charles. And now we have Teresa Hannon.
Small poem about seagulls. She breathes lightly now, gently touching form, beating on eardrums a whistling tune in rhythm with the rippling river. Seagulls glide by, riding the breeze, risen free above the burden of knowing, as the river flickers in the evening light.
Thank you, Teresa Holman. Next up we'll have Alexis, who is not only a poet, she's an artist also, and she has some pictures hanging at the moment in the Keep Co-op Cafe, if you happen to be back here.
Yeah, check them out, because you might be in it.
That's their day, actually.
Actually, Patricia here is one of the featured in the exhibition. Go check out Patricia. Okay. This is as good as it gets. I get an aching back when I finally get a cooler mind. I hate age less than I hate being young. Being young was being in the throng, being caught in the highways of hormones, like a duck in a motorway. Next one. The politician. He is like a crab. He bottom feeds, for his information. But if he wants to move onwards, to act, he moves left or he moves right. He cannot move forwards. Macron. Macron. Macron is another one. I think another Blair lurks underneath that inexperience. I think aggressive hatchet economics sneaks in under vague liberal banners of onwards, onwards, sideways.
Great stuff, Alexis. And next up we have Patricia Walsh, who is featured in Alexis's exhibition.
Thank you, everybody. The Scott Prophet Fern. Expensive mistakes set to living pace in a variety of drinks in Bob Shirley. Alcoholic misdemeanors cost the invitation to convivial arguments about the eventual. Looking hot at a remove, a mission to ridicule. Boring car 3 feet away, make the met drink. Eating at lunchtime, taking the excess. The Sweden deluge, making company. Happily complicated, ripped upon delivery. Damaged goods, a moniker hard to beat. Some other cancer digs into bones. Bob bodies and otherwise, funny satisfaction. Licking faces gets the better advice. Not to be seen to be argued with. Another pint in the subversive, propelling advice. Reject another day, not hearing essence. Kissing arms like tattoos, driven to distraction of what should be done. Lecture missed. Walking for miles beneath the humdrum sky. Limits on discovery of a sleeping sight. Nicely fitting into a private breech box. God alone knows where this episode is heading. Prefabricated shelter swallowed wary. Drinking through the night with more censure. Thank you.
Thank you, Tricia. And next up, we'll have Big Daddy, Billy Randall.
Thanks very much. I'm just waiting because I'm not a hero anymore, or a god.
Do you miss it? Do you miss it?
Well, she's only 3 months old, so it's still early days. But
you're still a hero, god.
Still, yes. But it's a burden. But are you talking about, what are you talking about? I want to dedicate
you see this abundantly.
Being a father. Oh, well, yeah, because like what Jared was saying when I go, that they think that you can do anything and accomplish anything and protect them from anything, but of course, eventually they realize that that illusion shatters, you know? And it is a burden, but it's amazing, great experience. Hey, I want to dedicate this poem to Shara. It's called The Mad Woman of Cork.
Woohoo! Hey,
it's probably been read in this room many times. I know you read it recently enough,
here.
Actually.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, oh, yeah, that's very good. And it's by Patrick Galvin, who's a presiding spirit of Cork poetry, despite his death several years ago. And he was also a great playwright and prose writer and songwriter, but primarily poet, I think. And today is the feast day of St. Anne. Pray for me. I am the mad woman of Cork. Yesterday in Castle Street, I saw two goblins at my feet. I saw a horse without a head carrying the dead to the graveyard near Turner's Cross. I am the mad woman of Cork. No one talks to me. When I walk in the rain, the children throw stones at me, old men persecute me, and the women close their doors. When I die, believe me, they'll set me on fire. I'm the mad woman of Cork. I have no sense. Sometimes, with an eagle in my brain, I can see a train crashing at the station. If I told people that, they'd choke me. Then where would I be? I am the madwoman of Cork. The people hate me. When Canon Murphy died, I wept on his grave. That was 25 years ago. When I saw him just now in Dunbar Street, he had clay in his teeth. He blessed me. I'm the madwoman of Cork. The clergy pity me. I see death in the branches of a tree, birth in the feathers of a bird. To see a child with one eye, or a woman frozen in ice, it is the worst thing and cannot be imagined. I am the madwoman of Cork. My mind fills me. I should like to be young, to dress up in silk and have 9 children. I'd like to have red lips, but I'm 80 years old. I have nothing but a small house with no windows. I'm the madwoman of Cork. Go away from me. And if I die now, don't touch me. I want to sail in a longboat from here to Roach's Point. There I will anoint the sea with oil of alabaster. I am the madwoman of Cork, and today is the feast day of St. Anne Feely. Good mother.
And now we'll have Eric Kavanagh. Did I say your name right? Eric, sorry, Eric. I can't read, obviously. Eric Kavanagh, here we go.
Moving through pathways, bound by mind, smashing through hurricanes, freedom I find. Writing with the blood pulse, chains falling away. Moving with tree state, essence spoken today.
Thank you very much, Eric. And now, Ben, please.
This poem is for my sister. I wrote it a number of years ago. It's called Molly Jane. Sister, it's amusing when at play in a magpie's nest, you invent scents with sellotape and a pair of scissors held the molly way round. Sister, always crafting, artist, ballerina, explosive Jane, rocking horse, wrapping paper, washing machine, you make no sense. Sister, everything is all right, and nothing bad that happens is real.
Thank you. And now we have Niall Hearn, please.
I couldn't look away, caught in a daze, abyssful thinking, certainly sinking, an ether surrounding, heart was pounding, love was flowing all around me, and I tried to reach out and let it know I was there as I was once before, reach out so love could find me again, but still I remain, caught, abyssful thinking, certainly sinking, and my melancholia, my grey dreams kept me up, wrapped in between worlds, I'm in between words, escaping only when Lady Luck would give me a twirl, and let me know that my trinity could swirl into ecstasies of world infinite, in their beauties and serenities, and all I seem to do is be free. I feel free in me, and I go with my white dove into realms of calm and vulnerable glories, and all of life's laws lurk before me, and nothing can bore me, because I am so interestingly, intrinsically filled with the musicality of the indefinite, infinite homes we create in their oh so beautiful domes. Oh.
Thank you, Niall. And now we have Mary
Nagle, please. I would first like to announce that the sun's arrived in Cork. Like most of it. In case Shara doesn't know, whenever there's any trace of sun around, everybody's naked. So that works. I have two poems that I can't choose between. One is sweet and one is kind of pitiless, so I think we both feel pretty good. start with Nicholas or Sweet? My love is barely the size of a shrimp, less sure than a baby dinosaur who is learning to knock at its egg. It is a sapling whose trunk is too young to be snapped and may yet die in the soil. Weeds are waiting to grow. You might want a dog or to live with me at all. You flatter my food, but you have met Brazilian girls whose chilies are hotter, whose skirts are shorter, whose laughs tickle the tongue. I lack feathers. Do you cast me in soft delight when you look? Are you really letting me write on you, or do you hear mostly you? Is speech but inferior haiku? This one's called Extract from a Will. I will be buried in plastic. Bubble wrap this bodice. You may pop. Cling film to secure. My face as if pressed to a window, but dead. Do not dwell. Efficiently fill foul-smelling mouth with sweet wrappers. Leave bottle caps between toes without snapping any off. Next, crush a pillow of can and glass, so that when bugs come to feast, breeds of hard and soft teeth may admire a glorified oil. Leave plastic overhead. Three weighted bin bags are more fitting than a stone. Refrain from engravings. Perhaps paper too deserves mention. In my hand you may crumble a poem. Memo. Before bubble wrap, fill vagina with condoms of men I knew. Conception will no longer be an issue.
Thank you, Mary. And now we have Kieran McCartney.
Fire all over. I remember being on the schoolyard as a boy, and a boy who was bigger and stronger than me said that what he thought was right. And I thought what I thought was right. And I rolled over. I remember being characterized as small before I knew what bigness was, and I took it as though the world contained no bigness, and I grew smaller in a shrinking world. And I welcomed tongue lashings like an old friend, for they reminded me that I was there. I was there when yes was said, and I thought no but said nothing. And yes became popular without me. I was a mouth that smiled along, while the rest of me numbed and my shoulders shrugged without feeling. And now my body does things without my consultation. Because I've trained my body not to consult worthless counsel. And yet I've made my mind believe its beliefs are worthless. I was told there's more there, after telling myself I had enough, while feeling the fullness of enough. I rolled over. I took more, and I have taken more enough to know I could no longer recognize the feeling of enough, and so I made no call, silenced the impulse, ate words never voiced. And I know the taste of unvoiced words so well they cause no stimulation on my palate. And so I search for someone else's silence. I chew cigarettes so that I can have a peer that knows itself as never enough. I take what I'm given and I take nothing, for nothing can be given to those who disbelieve their right to receive. I roll over every time you look at me like that. A gaze to trump a phrase, the fading image of a thought abandoned by its thinker. Opinions washed into consensus, testament of the love of ease and strange lightness of being led while floating. You are only there because of all the things around you that are not you. You are 50% of the event and the relationship between you and all the things that are not you. Stop and go is the same button and you call the count. I welcome ease, for I am tired, for I've been alive my whole life, but disregard my longing for sleep. When I succumb to slumber and recover in my stillness and dream of peace at last, I roll over.
Thanks for that, Ciarán. Next we have Aaron Lewis, please.
Good evening, everybody. This is not a poem, it's a story. I'm a balloon artist. I do events and festivals and I write my stories down. And in 2013, I was making balloons on the street and I used to meet an Indian guy who constantly asked me if I was making money with my work. So every time I see him, he'd say, "Are you making a lot of money today?" And I would say, "Well, you know, I'm kind of tipping away, things are going okay." And I wouldn't give him much information. And one particular day, some young kids came over me, in their teenager, just finished school, and they said, "Can you make a giraffe?" So I made them a giraffe. And they said, "How much will that cost?" And I said, "Well, it'll cost, you know, if I got €2 for the balloon, I'd be very happy." And they said, "Well, we don't have any money, we've just come from school." And I said, "Well, you were really nice to me coming over, they're really friendly kids." So I gave them the balloon. And the Indian guy came over and he went, "You cannot give away for free, you make no money." And I said, "Well, like I said in life, you know, you give and you receive and things come back to you." "Yes, but you make no money." And I said, "Well, you know," I said, "it's like, look, you know, like in life, if you give good things come back to you." "Yes, but you still make no money." And I said, "Well, it's like karma." And I said, "It's like karma, like the universe of giving and receiving." "Yes, but what is karma?" And I said, "Well, karma is like the law of giving and receiving. Things, good things come, bad things come back to you if you do bad things." "Yes, but what is karma?" And I said, "Well, karma, like Karma Sutra," and it's a different spelling that I know now. Karma Sutra is a different spelling. Karma Sutra has no R, and karma, the universal law of giving and receiving, has an R. And I said, "Karma Sutra," and he went, "Oh, I know very well Karma Sutra." He said, "In Karma Sutra, they have 110 techniques, but me and my wife, we know 111 techniques." And it went on from there, but I'll finish on that note. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Next up, we'll have Nicola Moffat.
This is actually from an essay that I'm busy editing for the millionth time. It's a combination between a critical and creative essay about Cork City of Culture 2005, probably the most controversial piece of art to come out of the city of the knitting room. So I'm going to read you the creative bit and not bore you to death with the critical bit, because the map itself helped me to express a mourning that I couldn't express. And I think that's what's so important about this particular art piece. You guys can make it feel more like that. So it's called The Edge of the Map. Stitch and Bitch, about our husbands and the way they can't seem to use their heads or their hands. About our children who run from us like rivers, tripping over pebbles in the wettest summer in living history. About our twisted hands and the pain and salt and the cold and the clickety-clacking of needles. We knit it all in, the sounds of the city, the watchful eyes, the voice of condemnation condemning a nation. In it goes, plop, like sugar in our tea, our special recipe. This poem is a map to your body. X marks a spot where your bones were knit back together after your treehouse fall. I can recall your pain, but also the smell of the grass and railed into you. Over here is where you tasted grenadilla for the first time, and my salivary glands pucker and gush with the memory of stringing yellow flesh and beady black pits. And here is where your daughter first fed, her hazel eyes contracting and focusing themselves on your face. Strictly speaking, I have no memory of these events, or even if they occurred at all. But I am re-membering them, that is, giving them a body in which to fill out what I knit here. This is because what I am missing is your body, the one that wrote me letters and sent them par escargot from Cape Town, the one that succumbed to cancer in September of 2007. This essay, or rather, this poem is a map to your body. The edge of the map is scarred by the teeth of the waves that will bring the winter's southern whites, the same gray family who visited every year. Like you, they would raise their voices to the firmament, offering to their watery god a mournful whale song that mapped their journey to your home in the Cape. They came back one last time, winding their way up the Agulhas when we scattered your ashes at Sunny Cove. When they eventually departed, they carried you leafwards on their expansive backs, these barnacle-encrusted cyclopods, your whale boatmen. I made something for you that you couldn't understand. There was no time to tell you that my body had also become a place where threads tangled like soldiers and barbed wire. I knitted and knitted and knitted. I knitted the world with my tongue, but it was a womb language you didn't speak. I forgot to give you the legend, to weave you the myth, so you'd know your footing when the night was at its darkness. Instead, we all fell down. This poem is a map of your body. The coast is now defined by its lack of whales, by the whale-shaped holes you left behind. Watchers would wait on the same promontories, armed with binoculars and telescopes that showed nothing but an empty grey expanse, this sea that stood between your death and me. I could have measured these holes, shown every manner of scientist how much emptiness was made with your departure. I would measure them according to the number of letters I would have received, the number of poems you would have written, the number of times you would have smoothed your daughter's hair with hands that were no longer failing. Instead, I measure these gaps between us, Cape Town Cork, death line, mouth, ear, with the number of appliances you had to teach your husband how to use, with a huge number of mourners who paid their final respects, with the number of drowned refugees washed up on the beaches of the Mediterranean. The last gift you gave me, you had me pick out myself. You no longer had the strength to lift needles, to wind the wool around your fingers. You could only make a thing of holes, of absences, as if to show us how the cancer ate away at your spine, as if to rehearse your final disappearance. At the time, we could not understand the encryption. We had no enigma machine to turn pain into language, code into a knitted garment. I wanted your hands grazing mine. I wanted the ghost of your fingertips outlined against the fabric. It would be more than we had touched while you were alive. A hand-me-down from Ireland, like your mother's counting. A hay in a doe a tree as she pushed the stitches along the needle, and you'd giggle, your chubby fingers pressed against your mouth, your eyes glittering as you looked at your baby brother's laughing face. Later, when you learned how to knit, you'd whisper the secret code to the wolf, a hen, a doe, a tree. And there you tell me your thoughts. I am knitting with the bones of your leftover poetry, splicing it with the flesh of the lullaby and wind from Champion's Peak. The mountain's spine runs the length of the map. I can feel each vertebra rise and dip against my finger as I trace your journey to death, the little depressions of earth that expose the outline of your hands. Holes, where you used to be. This poem is a map to my body. Birth certificate, South African. Passport, British. Surname, Scottish, via the mornings, of course. Accent, part by. Ancestry, English, Scottish, French, Irish, Dutch, German, Spanish, that we know of. Nation state, my body.
Boat I sailed through the ocean, my hand just above its surface. As time sailed on, so did the boat, and my hand became the hand of the clock. Not moving yet in perpetual motion, my hand viewed the world in the ocean below. The steady stream still streamed on, and the shadow of the hand was all that I owned. I imagined past poets and artists, those who described the ripples as they touched them, and as those ripples were passed out, they had been pierced. With the perception of a mind who had hands and eyes to feel. And those minds painted its shades of blue, described the little lick where the sea had been skimmed, and immortalized the moment where the moment had been felt. And those little blue moments forever behind have been blown up bigger than the moment in our minds. As our inward eye plants them forever in our view, I get to get the feeling of what they must have felt as I keep my hand raised just above, never feeling it for myself. And I will blink, and the blue blur will be passing under my hand, and I will sink my hand into it for the very first time. And although the bit of blue that I will dip into will pass, it will always last, even after I do.
Thank you, Cara. And next we have Emer Penny, please.
This poem is about when I was in France and I was running away from stuff that I was dealing with in Ireland, and I had a good time, but I also found the same sort of things while I was there, and I was a nanny, and I'm still haunted by this little girl I took care of because, well, yeah, she was a bit of a terror, but she was also, you know, the best little kid that I've, you know, ever encountered so far. So this is called Misty Love, or Nail Varnish Remover Still Makes Me Want to Throw Up. So, dear wild girl, I was there when your father shouted at you for letting a friend paint your nails at school and said he'd write to your teacher. Show them to me. All 10? You hid your hands under the table for the rest of dinner. Eyes never moving from your empty plate until you scurried away to use ice cream as anesthetic. You are 8 years old with 8 pink nails, and you don't know how little he is, or how I make sure my nails are red as blood for all the days that come after. Counting down now. Arresh, arresh, arresh. Dear wild girl, your father sends you to the doctor all the time, says there's something wrong with you. But I've seen how you storm from the table and the house. And I've seen your father do the same when you sing your happy 8-year-old songs at the table. Punishment. For what? For being 8, I guess. They'll have new ones when you're 9. Why don't you say goodnight to your parents? They might be angry if you don't. I say goodnight to them every night, and they're always angry. I don't feel like this, happy face. I don't feel like this, slanty face. I feel like this, sad, angry. I know. Believe me, I know. Dear wild girl, I've heard your screams and your tears, and I've seen a grown man scream in the face of an 8-year-old too many times to feel right in my own skin. But I've seen you shout back, teeth bared with the spirit of Atlas and the small body of a twig insect, your blue eyes full of red fire. Dear wild girl, you are wild because you have lived in the jungle, and though the wolves howl in the night, your soul is too quick for their jaws to crush, even if they're swift enough to make you cry. But I love your wildness. Someday you'll find the wilderness has a locked door, I hope you see the dashes of red swallowing profanities in the cold steel door. I hope someday you add something. I love you. Goodbye. Love, my granny grandsir.
Rab Earhart, please. Well, why didn't you introduce me as tonight's five-ball challenge winner? Maybe, self-harm. On a slightly more serious note, we were laughing at Billy for saying, like, his daughter was a burden. But then, like, I thought about that, I thought, actually, that's true, like, you know. I mean, like, you have kids and you're fucking stepkids and you want the best for them and you want to protect them and for them to be safe and have the best chances in life. But, man, if you're a parent in Aleppo or you're a parent in South Sudan or if you're a parent in fucking Mexico, you know what I mean? Fucking the shit is hitting the fan over there, man. You know, this is naked capitalism, tooth and claw. All the niceties have been done away with. You know what I mean? We're living in paradise, in some sense, over here. But anyway, never mind all that. Everybody knows, I mean, it's surely common knowledge now, that the difference between the Catholic religion and the Protestant religion is the Catholics are into guilt and the Protestants are into shame. Right? That's the way it works. So this is a Protestant Pope. Okay? My anger and frustration lead to my self-devaluation, to degradation, lethargy, and sloth. By sitting, smoking, thinking, procrastinating, and drinking, I get to the place where I don't give a toss. And the only thing I've found to consistently make my world go round is work, practice, effort. Call it what you will, sometimes it's a bitter pill, but still, work, practice, effort leads to true relaxation instead of sitting around chewing off my fingernails in agitation. Work, practice, effort. Woo!
Well, you've got to. And finally, we have Stanley Knott.
Yeah, when Rosie was flying around the list with the white guy on, I said I had nothing new. I'm fucking exhausted. Because I did the Darkness Into Light thing on Friday night directly after I was at a party for a 50th birthday. Not mine, I've gone beyond that date. And when I was sitting down there, you know, you just drift away when you listen to other people. I remember that I did the Darkness Into Light thing. So I thought I'd read this again. And I kind of, when I do this, I introduce it by saying, you know, all this going on with mental health and suicide, we really need to be more honest about what's happening. And that kind of starts with yourself. So this is called Policy of Truth. The truth is, tonight, a dark trance spent the night. The truth is, this happens all the time to broken, damaged people. The truth is, I am broken, damaged, fractured. The truth is, it's no good being broken, damaged, fractured. The truth is, broken, damaged people feel free love is strange love. The truth is, fractured, damaged people are always fools to fragile tension. The truth is, broken, damaged people rush to pain. The truth is, fractured, damaged people surrender to addiction, fall into the abyss. The truth is, for broken, damaged people, choosing the dark road is the price of love. The truth is, choosing the dark road is a pain that I'm used to and suffer well. The truth is, broken, damaged people always rebirth stories of old. The truth is, in a world full of nothing, scared, sacred shame soothes my soul. The truth is, addiction tears you apart. The truth is, sometimes, in the dead of night, I wish I were dead. The truth is, I promise you, I will hold on. The truth is, the child inside is miles away, gone, lost. The truth is, all I ever wanted is to shake the disease. The truth is, I just can't get enough of endless excess and compulsion. The truth is, I'm useless, gone too far, a horror story. The truth is, pain stripped my joy. The truth is, pain shouldn't have done that. The truth is, one thing, one caress, can light my sun. The truth is, the future starts here. The truth is, when turning away from condemnation, I feel love. The truth is, I promise you, I will just try. The truth is, the great outdoors soothes my soul. The truth is, better days remotivate me. The truth is, I'm in control. The truth is, nothing is impossible. The truth is, I like that insight. The truth is, I am human. And the truth is, I am human.